Thank you very much. Welcome everybody to our council meeting today, our GNSO council meeting. Let's get stuck in straight away. Admin matters, you have the list of the main issues for this meeting. If you have any disclosures of interests, updates that you'd like to make known at this point, please do so. We haven't received any, have we, then? Oh, and the roll call, of course, the roll call. I forgot the roll call. Please do a roll call.
Thank you, Stefan. Jeff Newman.
Present.
Jonathan Robinson.
Yes.
We have apologies from Ching Chow, and he's given his proxy to Jeff Newman. Adrian Kindris, we have apologies from too, and he's given his proxy to Tim Ruiz. Stefan van Kelder.
Yep.
Adrian Andre Kalashnikov has sent his apologies. He can't be present at the meeting. Zahid Jamil.
Hi there. Yes, I'm here.
John Berard.
Yep, I'm here.
Christina Rosette.
Present.
David Taylor.
Present.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben.
Yes.
Jamie Wagner.
Present.
Rafik Demick.
Yes.
William Drake has sent his apologies, and his proxy goes to Rafik Demick. Libby Hugh.
Present.
Wendy Seltzer.
Here.
Rosemary Sinclair is absent, and she was not able to get a proxy to anybody. Mary Wong.
Yes, here. Thank you.
Olga Cavelli.
Present.
Carlos Aguirre.
Homeless ready here.
Thank you. Alan Greenberg.
Here.
Han Chan Lee.
Present.
Thank you. And for staff, we have David Olive, Liz Gaster, Marika Koenig, Rob Hogarth, Julie Headland, Margie Milam, and myself, Glenda Sanjuri, and we've also had Alex Kulik on the line, who has helped us with the audio cast. Thank you very much, Stefan. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, for doing that.
Tim Ruiz is also here, by the way, which we didn't make that official, so I thought I would.
Sorry about that, Tim. Well, Glenn sends her apologies to you. So would anyone like to update any statement of interest at this time? Does anyone want to review or amend the agenda? Now, you all have the minutes of the previous meeting that were approved according to our procedures. And with that being said, if there's no further comments on item one, we'll move straight into item two. And this is our regular item on the pending project. On the pending projects, and today's project is the IRTP Part B working group. Michele Nalon, who's the chair of this working group, was unfortunately unavailable today to give us an update. So we have an update from Marika.
Thank you very much, Stefan. This is Marika. So indeed, Michele sends his apologies, and so I'll be covering the update today. I intend to keep it relatively brief, as the working group has also scheduled an update to the council on the report and actual recommendations in San Francisco. But this is more about the status of the group and where it currently stands. Just for those of you that are maybe new to this working group, this working group addresses the inter-registrar transfer policy, which is a consensus policy that was adopted in 2004, which basically prescribes a straightforward process for registrants to transfer domain names between registrars. As part of the implementation, it was decided that the policy should be reviewed to identify whether there were any areas for improvement or clarification. And it might also be worth pointing out that this is actually the number one area for which ICANN compliance received complaints from registrants. So based on that review, a whole lot of issues were identified in need for further clarification and improvement. And on the basis of that, a working group basically categorized the different issues and came to five different PDPs that would need to be conducted to address all those issues. And the IRTP Part B is the second one in that series. So this working group addresses five charter questions, three of which deal with whether there should be a process or special provisions to deal with urgent return of hijacked domain names, inappropriate transfers or change of registrant issues. And then there are two questions that deal with the use of registrar lock status, and they deal with whether there should be standards or best practices on how such locks should be used. And it also deals with a specific clarification of denial reason number 7 that's present in the policy. So this PDP was initiated in June 2009. The working group has already published its initial report. They did that last year, followed by a public comment period. They received quite a number of comments. This is normally, you know, as it is a very specific issue, it normally doesn't attract a whole lot of comments as it's, you know, deals with very technical, specific issues. But as there were some proposals in there that were perceived very controversial by the community, there was a lot of feedback received during the comment forum. So it took the working group quite some time to actually go through all those comments and address those comments. It resulted also in substantial changes to their report and recommendations. So as a result of that, they decided that it would be appropriate to publish, before publishing a final report, to actually publish a proposed final report in order to give the community another opportunity to review those recommendations and provide their input before actually finalizing the report and submitting it to the GNSO Council. So the report was published earlier this week and contains 9 specific recommendations. A number of which are recommendations for new PDP, some are specific recommendations for changes to the existing consensus policies. But as I said, I don't think we have the time now to go into detail with regard to the specific recommendations, but I think the working group would like to have the opportunity to discuss that with the council in San Francisco and get your input at that stage. So I said that there will be an update in San Francisco on Saturday afternoon. There's also a separate presentation of the report and the recommendations to the community that's foreseen for Monday morning. We hope this will serve as an opportunity to get the community interested in these issues and answer questions that there might be and encourage people to submit comments. The comment forum will be open until the 31st of March, and following that, the working group plans to analyze those comments and determine whether further updates are required to the report, and following that, submit it to the GNSO Council for its consideration. For those of you that don't know the person in the picture, that's actually the chair of our working group, Michaela Nyland, and during one of our sessions. So why is this taking so long? As I said, the IRTP is complex. There are a lot of technical issues involved. We had to do quite a number of detailed sessions on going into like how EPP works, what kind of impact certain changes might have, also a lot of legal analysis on how certain provisions might affect registrars, but also registrants. There was a substantial amount of comments received, so the group spent quite some time at looking at those and updating the proposal. Some of the processes that they developed took as well a lot of time. There was initially a proposal for an expedited transfer reverse policy that took a lot of time to develop, making sure that all the different angles were covered and several sub-teams were created for that. And I think, as with any project these days in the GNSO, there are a lot of competing initiatives going on. So on several occasions, we did have to, you know, cancel a meeting or, you know, cope with less capacity of volunteers doing actual work on these groups because there were other initiatives going on as well. So here are some links to further information on what the IRTP is doing. There's a link to the proposed final report, a link to the public comment forum, and to the workspace where you can find all the relevant information. And I'll leave it at that. I don't know if there are any questions.
Thank you very much, Marita. Perhaps you can just clarify what the group expects to be presenting in San Francisco.
The group intends to present there what is actually in the report. So basically there are 9 recommendations in there, as I said, and I think they would like to have a bit more in-depth discussion with the council on what is in there and see if there's already any direct feedback on what the working group is proposing, as these recommendations eventually will come to the council for its consideration.
So they're expecting a dialogue between themselves and the council on, I mean, what kind of feedback are they expecting from the council? We agree with this, we don't agree with that, or just you're going in the right direction? Do you have any idea?
I think initially it would just be a presentation of what is actually in there, and then to see indeed if there are any questions from the council on what is being proposed. There might be some indeed initial suggestions on you know, what could be done better or what might be done different, or there might be a feeling of that, well, we think this is moving in the right direction, and in general we, you know, we can see that this is something that we're likely to support if there's indeed consensus from the working group to move forward in that direction.
Okay, thank you. Just as a reminder, we introduced this agenda item to ensure that the council was up to date and up to speed on the pending projects that look like they're taking a long time or have been going on for a long time. This is one. In the light of what Marika's just told us, it's clear that the group is moving towards some kind of resolution, and we'll obviously hear a lot more from the group in San Francisco. But if there are any questions at this stage, please raise your hand or make yourself known, and I will get to you as soon as I can. Tim?
Yeah, I'm just curious. I think the comment period closes on the 11th, which is like, I think, the Friday before the meeting starts or before our weekend working sessions. How likely is it we'll have a summary of the comments by the time we meet with the working group?
This is Marika. The comment period is actually open until the 31st of March. It's running through the ICANN meeting, and we've done it intentionally for a bit longer period to also allow those that are at the ICANN meeting and hopefully attending as well the session that is taking place on Monday to, you know, have an opportunity to formulate their thoughts and submit comments. So it won't be closed before the ICANN meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I see that now. I misread that. Thanks, Marika.
Thank you to you both. Any further questions on this?
Stefan, it's Christina. I still can't get on to Adobe, so if I could go in the queue.
Please do. You're next.
Okay. I just had a question because I had looked at the new schedule that Glenn had circulated last night. And Marika, I'm reading the schedule to indicate that we only have 25 minutes for that group's presentation, and it just based on what you've just said, it sounds as if they expect that we're going to be covering a lot of ground, and I'm wondering whether the time that's been allotted is either enough, or if we don't have any more time, perhaps there needs to be some adjustment in what they may expect that we can get done.
This is Marika. It's hard to estimate how much feedback we'll get from the council, so I think for all the working group updates, we've set like 25 minutes. But I guess if there's an interest to have a more in-depth discussion on some of these items, I think it would be good to know and see if there's more time available on the schedule. I mean, alternatively, we can also, of course, always try to find additional time, you know, after the ICANN meeting or one of the council calls to discuss certain issues. So I don't know what the general feeling of if 25 minutes is not perceived enough. I mean, several of the updates that we've given before, you know, we normally run through the recommendations and, you know, they haven't often resulted in very long debates. I mean, if it's anticipated for this one that people, you know, do have substantial issues they would like to discuss, it might be good to know that beforehand so we can try to find more time.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have anything in particular in mind. I was just noting that it seemed like a short period of time given what it sounded like they wanted to cover.
Right, and that said, there will be another session, which I think is an hour and a half on Monday. So, you know, if there are any items that we cannot cover on Saturday, but people do want to raise them, I think we'll have a second meeting where those issues can be raised or further questions can be explored.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, and I know scheduling for the weekend has been a challenge. I mean, Olga and Glenn can speak to that better than I can, but it is true that in general my advice was not to have any session that was under an hour, because if you do, then sessions tend to run over because we find it difficult to have a full conversation in less than an hour's time. So perhaps can be taken back and we can try and work something out there. But I suspect that if it's scheduled for 30 minutes, then it's because there was no more time that could be found for it. Any further comments on this agenda item? Okay, let's move to item 3, which is the first item with a motion that we will have to look at today. It's a motion that was made by myself and seconded by Wolf. I'll just read the motion out quickly, and then we can have some discussion on it before taking a vote. Whereas in October 2008, the GNSO Council established a framework for implementing the various GNSO improvements as a link provided, identified, and approved by the ICANN Board of Directors on the 26th of June 2008. Whereas that framework included the formation in January 2009 of two steering committees, the Operations Steering Committee in brackets OSC and the Policy Process Steering Committee in brackets PPSC to charter and coordinate the efforts of five community work teams in developing specific recommendations to implement the improvements, whereas the OSC established three work teams which were chartered to focus on specific operational areas addressed in the BGC report recommendations, and there's a link provided, whereas the GNSO Council recently identified areas for improvements in Section 5 Statements of Interests in the GNSO Council operating procedures that would simplify and clarify the procedures, whereas the GNSO Council tasked the OSC with completing a revision to improve Section 5, whereas the OSC submitted to the GNSO Council on the 4th of February 2011 a revision of Section 5 link provided that removes the requirement for disclosures of interests and provides clearer guidance on the contents of statements of interest and on updating them in a timely manner. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council accepts the revised Section 5 submitted by the OSC and directs staff to post this document. 4, this was amended and the amendment was received as friendly. 30 days in the ICANN public comment forum. Resolve further that the GNSO Council should take formal action on this document, including potential modification, as soon as possible after the conclusion of the public comment period. That's the motion. Jeff, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I have a proposed friendly amendment, I guess, and maybe this is just promotions in general. When we put it out for comment, is it possible to change the word accepts to acknowledges receipt of? Or something like that, simply because we're not really accepting the section, we're acknowledging receipt.
I'm thinking, why are we not accepting it? We are, in a way, aren't we?
No, because we're not going to take formal action until we get the comments back. So I would agree with Jeff. It's Christina.
Who's that speaking?
Christina.
All right. Sorry, didn't recognize your voice. So accept means that if we accept it, we take formal action on it? Accept means you accept that it's been given to you. It's a small point. I don't have any specific problems. I'm happy to change the language if Wolf is okay, but just I can use this to improve my sense of English.
Yeah, if you're asking me, Stefan, Wolf speaking, so I think it's a smaller point. Well, I would accept it.
So what language would you want, Jeff?
I accept the acknowledge.
Resolve that the GNSO Council acknowledges receipt of, right?
Yes.
Tim? Oh, no, sorry, I thought your hand was up. Mary?
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. And I guess I'm not quibbling with the change or the substitution. It's just that I think the point would be going forward, if we're going to be receiving a lot of, you know, working group reports and suggestions and so forth, that we probably want to think about some kind of consistent wording, either accepts or acknowledges receipt of, so that it doesn't get confusing if we use interchangeable different phrases.
Okay, so Tim.
Uh,
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, I think that's that was going to be my point, too, is just to figure out how we want to deal with this going forward. And I think in the past, and I'm not suggesting this necessarily at either, but that we just, I thought we'd just, you know, thank the working group and then, you know, directed staff to post a document, et cetera. But I understand Jeff's concern, just that accept in some cases can mean that you agree with or that you accept them as recommended, that kind of thing. So I think it's just a matter of trying to avoid that.
Okay. I don't know if we lost you mid-sentence there or not, Tim. Perhaps we did. But I will accept that amendment as friendly. Will you accept the fact that we change that text to the GNSO Council acknowledges receipt of as friendly?
Yes, I do.
Good. So that is sorted. Any further comments on, while Marika is updating the wiki, on the motion itself? So, Glenn, sorry, was someone speaking? Okay, so Glenn, could you do is anyone opposed to doing a voice vote on this? Hearing no one, Glenn, please do a voice vote.
Certainly, Stefan. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those, if anybody is against the motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Thank you. The motion seems to have passed unanimously, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Glenn. So we'll move on to 3.2. This is the second motion that we have on our agenda today. It's a motion that was made by Jonathan Robinson. So before we open discussion up on this, can I ask Jonathan to read the motion, please?
Yes, sure, Stefan. I'll go ahead and do that. Whereas in October 2008, the GNSO Council established a framework for implementing the various GNSO improvements identified and approved by the ICANN Board of Directors in June 2008. Whereas the framework included the formation in January 2009 of two steering committees, the OSC and the PPSC, to chart and coordinate the efforts of five community work teams in developing specific recommendations to implement the improvements. Whereas the OSC established three work teams, including the Constituency and Stakeholder Group Operations Work Team, which were chartered to focus on specific operational areas addressed in the BGC report recommendations. Whereas one of the recommendations in the BGC report was to develop and implement a targeted outreach program to explore the formation of new constituency groups. Whereas the Constituency Stakeholder Group Operations Work Team was tasked with developing the recommendations on a global outreach program and submitted the document to the OSC for consideration on 21st of January 2011, whereas the OSC submitted to the GNSO Council on 14th of February 2011 the document recommendations to develop a global outreach program to broaden participation in the GNSO, whereas the OSC recommendations described a global outreach strategy to develop to relevant members of the public, particularly non-English speakers and those from developing countries or regions, and for the development of global outreach programs aimed at increasing participation both from the current members of the ICANN community as well as potential members, particularly non-English speakers. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council accepts the document submitted by the OSC and direct staff to post this document for 45 days in the ICANN public comment forum. Resolve further that the GNSO Council shall take formal action on this document, including potential modification, as soon as possible after the conclusion of the public comment period.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And in the light of what was just said with the previous motion, I suppose we ought to propose a friendly amendment to your motion, removing accepts and adding the text that was added to the previous motion, acknowledges receipt of.
No
Is that
problem.
Something that someone would like to make, Jeff? Perhaps?
Yes, I'll make that as a friendly amendment.
Jonathan, Deborah, would that, Is that something that you will accept as friendly?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Olga, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just let you know that if you have any comment or question about the document, it's the last document that the OSCE CSG working team prepared. I chaired that working team, and this document was prepared by a sub-working team led by Debbie. So if you have any comments, questions, or doubts that you may raise here or after, me and Debbie are here to answer.
Thanks very much, Olga. That's helpful. Does anyone have any questions for Olga or on the motion itself before we proceed to the vote? Hearing no one, is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, could you please do a voice vote?
Certainly, Stefan. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is anybody opposed to the motion? Please say nay. Is anybody wanting to abstain? Thank you, Stefan. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks to everybody. And let's move on to item four, which addresses the GNSO Working Group guidelines. And we will ask Jeff Newman, the PPSC chair, to give us an update before we move into the discussion of this agenda item. Jeff, if you could.
Sure. So for those of you that remember, the final working group work team report as approved by the PPSC was submitted to the council before Cartagena or immediately afterwards, and it was put out for public comment. There were there were two comments received during the public comment period and one comment that was received from the at-large advisory committee after the comment period closed. A summary of those comments was posted by Marika, and if I could categorize the three types of comments, there was comments from the registry stakeholder group that really sought to clarify, just add a couple words here and there. I checked with the working group work chair, J. Scott Evans, and he concurred that most of them were not really substantive in nature, but more clarification. The second set of comments were from Avery Doria, who raised comments on an issue that I was told was discussed by the working group work team, not reflected in the final report, and really is kind of a new substantive issue as to the role of the chair or who could serve as the chair. In Avery's opinion, a working group work chair should not be a working group chairperson should not be someone who's on the council. And then you have all seen the comments from the ALAC Alan's responses to some of the questions. So those are the three types of comments. My recommendation as far as how to move forward would be to submit the non-substantive clarification comments back to the PPSC to see if they would agree to amend the final report in a fairly quickly time frame, to take the substantive issue raised by Avery on the working group chairpersons and push that over to the standing committee that's being set up to decide whether to take up that issue or not. And Alan, I guess, had, and maybe he wants to speak, said that he didn't necessarily see a change to the report that's needed, but something that could be a good practice going forward. But I'll let Alan address that separately. So, again, my recommendation is I don't think we should hold up the working group report or the council from accepting the report. My proposal is to have the PPSC look at this really quickly, see if they want to amend the report with the registry suggestions or not, then push it to a vote for the San Francisco meeting.
Thanks, Jeff. As a personal comment, I do tend to agree that this is part of the GNSO improvement process, and it's something that's been going on for a long time. That's taken up, I think, more of our resources, including staff resources, than anyone anticipated when we started doing this. And I think it would be useful for us to bring some kind of closure without, obviously, closing the door to possible revisits. But the proposed approach may help do that. So I think it's something that we may want to look at. Alan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, as I said in my note, we weren't adamant that a change be made, but we felt very strongly that what we were suggesting was important. And given that things are not likely to be instituted unless they're captured somewhere, and since Jeff is recommending that this go back to the PPSC for some modification, then I would suggest that the either I or someone craft a fourth bullet point in the appropriate section to cover this kind of thing and put it in. If the council was going to vote without any changes at all, I think we would just let it stand, just for expediency. But since it is going back, I think there shouldn't be. Hopefully, there'll be no problem if we can add this one more line that covers the issue the ALAC was bringing up.
Well, we are here to decide whether, or at least to discuss whether we think it should go back to council or not.
No, I understand.
To the PPSC or not.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I think if it is going back to the PPSC anyway, then we would suggest that another change be made at that point or be considered by the PPSC in relation to the comment that I've made recently.
Right.
An explanation of the ALAC statement. If it's going to be approved without any other changes, then we're not going to hold it up either.
Any other comment? Jeff?
Yeah, so I can take that to the PPSC, and my recommendation is if the PPSC views that as substantive, then they flag that, and instead of addressing the substance, then recommend that is one of the items as well that goes to the standing committee. I can't imagine that it would be an issue, but I think we should just take the same approach.
I have no problem with that. If the PPSC decides that, so be it.
What is the council recommending? That's my question. We've only heard from two people. Do other people want to speak on this? Well, in that case, Jeff, can you take that back to the PPSC?
Yes, Alan. And Alan, if you can just get me that fourth bullet point, then I'll send it all together.
Will do.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments on this agenda item? Let's move on to the board resolution on consumer choice. Rosemary Sinclair has volunteered to lead this effort for us. Unfortunately, she cannot be with us today, but she did send an update and an updated report on the work that's been happening so far to the council list. I hope everybody's had a chance to look at that. The discussion that I'd like for us to have today is something that would help us decide what it is that we want to do in this area and the decisions that we want to make going forward. There are a number of suggestions that Rosemary has made. I'm happy to read Rosemary's text if not everybody has got it. So if anybody wants me to read that, just let me know. If not, can I open the discussion up on what it is that we want to do with this? And as a reminder, the text has just been put up on Adobe as well. As a reminder, one of the initial avenues that we'd explored was to send a letter to the board explaining that it would be difficult for the council to meet this objective in the time that was being given to us. We do have that issue of timing. We also are or have been made aware of a lot of interest from the community in working on this topic, so it's certainly not something that we would want to discard, I would expect. One of the suggested next steps is to have a discussion or a forum or something at the June ICANN meeting, which would give us or give the group time to work on this and might cover three sections, competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. And that leads into another suggestion, which is that a joint group be set up to prepare for this forum. Now, that will lead us into the problem that some in the GNSO may have with joint working groups or joint groups. So that's probably a good point to start this discussion. And Tim, I see you have your hand up.
Right. So just to make sure I'm clear, what I understand, though, then is that what we're looking at these next steps is in trying to determine or formulate a process or going forward method or whatever to establish the definition and measures, but not necessarily to establish those definitions and measures itself using these next steps. Does that make sense? What my question is? You know, are we trying to determine the process to do it, or are we actually trying to determine the definition and measures?
No, we're trying to determine our next steps process-wise. Do we reply to the board saying that we don't have the resources to do it? Do we reply that we can, we'd like to work on it, but we suggest that we have a longer time frame to work on it? Do we not reply but start working with other groups in the community to prepare for some kind of joint discussion at some upcoming meeting? That's the question that we're asking. Does that answer your question?
Okay, right. It does. Thanks.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, so my problem, I have 2 points. First is I think on the actual request from the board, we also wanted to make the point that, you know, the board, there should be some communication between the board and the council before the board assigns tasks to a council, especially one that's got a timeline, you know, that really they shouldn't be just sending things to us with a time frame without checking to see whether we have the resources to do it. That was also one point of the letter. But the second thing on this whole assignment is that there's absolutely no context for any of this. So, yeah, we have a resolution, but we don't know what precipitated this resolution. What was the and I'm sorry to say this, but what was the backdoor conversation that the board had the day before this resolution or the weeks before the resolution that led up to this resolution? Why are we doing this? I still don't have a clear answer. I've read Bruce's email again, and I've read this. I still don't understand what the context, how is this going to be used? Is it used to look at new TLDs and to evaluate new TLDs? I mean, without understanding the purpose of this and the context, it seems premature to be organizing a forum on it. And perhaps this is, I would recommend this be a topic of discussion with the board at the San Francisco meeting so we can hear from them directly.
So that's a suggestion for our, one suggestion for a topic for our meeting with the board. Thanks for that, Jeff. That's very useful. Zahid?
Hi, thank you. I had actually a question and a comment. My question is, I'm not sure and I'm not aware of what, since the resolution sort of is addressed, not just to the GNSO, but to ALAC and the CCNSO, what action they have anticipated to take in this direction. That's my question. And the comment basically is, in the BC, we discussed this, and there were several members who were, eager for this work to be moving ahead because they looked at the resolution, they said, we've got a San Francisco deadline, and looking at the new GTLD process, which has to start this year, they were concerned that, at some stage somebody's going to have to come up with these definitions, how we're going to, move forward in this. So our members are concerned about this and would like to see something move forward. I agree with Jeff that we don't have context, and I agree with that aspect, but we need to work out a strategy on how to move forward. I like the idea about the public forum, the open forum, But what have others done, like ALAC and GAC and CCNSO? And if they haven't, then I guess the one thing you can do is have a open forum. That's a question and a comment. Thank you.
So you're suggesting that before we decide to send a letter to the board, whatever that letter says, we find out from the CCNSO and the ALAC what they've decided to do. Is that correct? Have I understood you correctly?
Right, because supposing we end up in San Francisco and GNSO is the only one that doesn't really have anything to say about this, that, I think, will look at least a little awkward.
Thank you. If any of the liaisons, I see, Alan, you have your hand up. If the CCNSO liaison has a word on this, then that would be very welcome. Tim, you're next.
One of the concerns I've had about this resolution is that it sounds as if, you know, we've been operating for the last 10 years or so or more without any definition for competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice, which if you look at ICANN's mission and, its the principles under which it's supposed to operate is rather shocking if that's actually the case. And if we were to today, and it looks like we will be at some point coming up with such definitions, then, it also has the potential to invalidate some of the work that we've done in the past and perhaps even some of the work done on the new GTLD process. So I have a lot of concerns about that. And I think that personally I believe that we have been operating under some conception, at least, of what competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice means or what it is. And I think that needs to be established first, that we need to look at what is the definition, what is the understanding that we've been operating under for the last 10, 11, 12 years. What is it today as we look at this going forward and say, is this still correct, given recent concerns expressed by the GAC, in regards to legal issues and those kinds of things. But there has to be something existing that we've been working under. Otherwise, I don't know how we've been even operating. So I would hope that part of the next steps would be, eking out of the board and perhaps other community participants, stakeholders, what they feel, those definitions have been that we've been operating under for the last, over a decade. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Christina?
I actually am a little confused that there seems to be confusion about the context here, in that it has always been my understanding that this request is directly based on paragraph 9.3 of the Affirmation of Commitments that requires ICANN to organize a review that will examine the extent to which the introduction or expansion of GTLDs has promoted competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice, and that is the context for this request. What I do think is a little odd, and given that there is confusion, I think it's certainly worth, perhaps, at a minimum, sending a communication to the board to make sure that that is, in fact, the context for this request. But that review that will measure the extent to which new GTLDs, blah, 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 doesn't start until the first of the new GTLDs have been launched for a year. So I guess the question that I would have that we would also want to go back to the board is, I think we need to have very clear, realistic deadlines. I think that if I am correct in terms of understanding the context for this work, having the board give the community false deadlines, I think, can ultimately be quite counterproductive. But I do think it's important that we sit down and get a clear sense as to what it is they want, what they intend to do with it, and working backwards from the anticipated timeline, what really are the deadlines here? I just think that we're setting ourselves up to not do a thorough and proper job if we're trying to rush through this for the sake of some arbitrary deadlines that have just randomly been set.
Thanks. It definitely sounds like, and I see Zahid is agreeing, it definitely sounds like this should be an item for our discussion with the board. So perhaps, Glenn, you can make a note of that. Alan.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of what the ALAC has done, we have started talking about this. Our intention is to participate. We haven't gone on an awful lot further in in organizing a formal group or something like that. But it is our intention to participate, and it's an item that has some interest to us. I'll support and go on from what Jeff and Christina were saying, that I guess, first of all, I would not like to see these kind of things tossed over the wall at us. I would have thought that the appropriate action the board would take is say we are interested in pursuing this. We'd like to hold a roundtable with, interested parties from the, the ALAC, the GNSO, the CCNSO, the GAC, and have a discussion back and forth as to what the aims are, what the intentions are, what the current understandings are to go forward from that. These things that are tossed over the wall I find very frustrating because we never quite get the intent right and we don't know what the target is. In terms of deadlines, I suspect what the board is trying to do is have the definitions so before they actually launch the GTLDs, they can do a quiet checklist to see, are these going to end up with good results? I'm just guessing that's why they set that date of June. And I think a productive discussion, not just with the GNSO, but with, a set of representatives, the people who may well participate in this group, so that everyone has the same understanding, we can ask the questions and get things on the table. Thank you.
So, Alan, am I right in thinking that ALAC will not meet the SF deadline either?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay, thank you.
But we haven't discussed that formally, but yeah. If you're asking for my guess, probably not.
Thanks. Han Tran, can I ask you if you have any idea what the CCNSO is going to do?
The CCNSO has not met yet, and they're supposed to meet on the 1st of March, within the week's time. So I'll bring this issue, and the council will need to discuss this, and I will provide an update to the GNSO once the council has met and discussed this issue.
Thank you very much. But it does then sound like we, the GNSO, could easily address this with the board, and perhaps a letter isn't the way we should do it. Perhaps our discussion during the SF weekend is the best way to do it. This is something that I would like us to decide today. Do we want to send the board a letter? Do we want to respond in writing, which is, given the fact that there's a resolution, possibly something that we would want to do or not? But I think we can feel comfortable in the fact that as we probably won't respond, that we're just not interested, any response that we do give would not be something that would go in a different direction to what, in terms of timetables, to what ALAC and the CCNSO are doing. So really, do we want to write a written response to the board? John, do you have a view on this?
Well, in terms of a written response to the board, I guess I'd be guided by Rosemary's conversations with Bruce. But, one of the things about this resolution from the board that has, I guess, always sort of nagged at me is that they're not asking really for advice from this council specifically, but from the GNSO broadly. So why shouldn't we right now ask all of our constituencies to offer up comment? And maybe we could use the working lunch on the Saturday to just turn that working lunch into a give that over to this subject and have the constituency input presented into to the council, and maybe we can come to some agreement as to what we think of these things. Whether or not it's merely to cook the books for ICANN to look good a year and a half from now, I suppose that's true. I know I hate to go into meetings that aren't cooked, but I do think that if there's something to be learned from the board on this matter, is that we should throw it over the side back to the constituencies to get some comment and set a deadline of that Saturday for it. I think there should be broader participation in something that, my personal view is that that consumer trust, consumer choice, competition is really one half of the ICANN grapefruit, the other half being stability security and resiliency. I mean, those are the two things that ICANN needs to, you know, that represent what it does. This is a really important thing, in my view.
Thanks, John. And there's some kind of consensus emerging on the chat that we should send a response. Christina suggested we send a letter to give the board a heads up as to where we are, our uncertainty about the context, our need for real deadlines, etc. People do seem to be agreeing with that. So perhaps our way forward here is to suggest that to ask Rosemary to oversee drafting of that letter. And that's something that I'm sure that we can ask her to do before San Francisco. Is anyone opposed to doing things that way? Okay, good. Does anyone have anything else to say on this agenda item? Right, in that case, Glenn,
Stefan,
can you make
Christina, I would just add that I think we need to make sure that the letter gets to the board at least a week in advance of our meeting with them so that they come into that meeting with an understanding of where we are. I don't think it does them any good to get that to them, you know, just a couple of days before or when we're meeting, but I think the sooner we can get it to them, the more useful it's going to be for everyone.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, Christina. Glenn, could you make a note of that and send a request to Rosemary, who's not on the call today, to oversee their effort, if she's willing. Thank you very much. And we shall now move on to item six and the Who Is studies. And before we start discussing it, we have an update that Liz Gaster is going to provide to the council on this topic. Liz, are you, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. And Marika's just pulling up the slides. So you can just give her 1 minute, but I think I'll start just quickly going through this. I've been asked to make this very short. So just as a refresher, you know, the staff was asked to look at four study areas that are being looked at in the hopes that the data from these areas might inform future policymaking. They asked staff to figure out what the feasibility of these four study areas and how much it would cost to do them. We've completed the work on the first three, which are listed on the chart here that I'm showing you. We've provided the council already with information on misuse study, and the council has decided to move forward with that study, and I'm in the process of finalizing a contract with the supplier, the research entity that's going to do that, and hopefully they'll get started in the next couple weeks on that study. The council has not yet decided, but the staff has completed a feasibility assessment on the Who Is Registrant Identification Study and Who Is Privacy and Proxy Abuse Study. I'm going to skip over this part of the chart, which was the fourth. The fourth study is the one I'm about to give you an update on, this Privacy and Proxy Relay and Reveal study that I'm going to describe very quickly, and then the last two are not relevant for discussion today that are listed on the chart. So this Privacy and Proxy Relay and Reveal study is intended to analyze communication relay and identity reveal requests that are sent for privacy and proxy registered domains to explore and document how they're processed and try to identify factors that may promote or impede timely communication or and resolution, the relay and the reveal. We posted an RFP in September but did not get any responses, and we basically solicited information from past bidders to try to understand why they didn't respond and learned through that discussion process that there were significant concerns that potential research firms had about the feasibility of this study. They were concerned about the difficulty of finding diverse volunteers willing and able to supply sufficient information. They worried about organizations being unlikely to participate and that there would be huge constraints really on the information that entities would be willing to disclosed. So we tried to figure out whether there was a option B that the council might consider if it still thought it was important to pursue this area. And so came up with an approach with one consultant to do a pre-study feasibility survey where we would not do this, an outside entity, and I maybe didn't make that clear in the analysis, but an outside entity would actually perform a pre-study to contact, at a fairly high level, potentially interested volunteers, understand what their limitations might be, and figure out if there were solutions that might enable this study to actually proceed. The reason for the estimated cost is between $60,000 and $80,000, and the reason why there is a range there is because the proposal was to do the survey just in English for about $60,000, and I wanted to make a point of highlighting this to the council that if we were to go that route, it would just be in English, and the council may feel that pre-survey needs to be, and the outreach needs to be done in other languages, and if so, that's a rough estimate of what the incremental increase would be for that study. So that's a very quick summary of the analysis. I do encourage you to read it. I would be glad to give a more in-depth presentation. We could even schedule a separate call if people are interested. I could provide more detail on all three of the remaining studies. I just want to be sure that people understand now that it's now up to the council to decide whether you want to do all of the remaining studies, some selected number of the remaining studies, and, we've already decided to do the one study, so if you were to do recommend all of the studies being done, then you'd have to look at just the amount that's already been allocated in funding for this and probably request additional funding to do all three of the remaining ones, but that could, that's up to you to propose, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks very much, Liz, for keeping it so brief. Would anyone have any questions for Liz? As a reminder, our discussion point here really is on how what our next steps are and how do we decide whether we want to do all of the studies, not all of them. As a reminder, when we decided on the first study that was done, that was done through a motion, so that's probably what we would want to look at again, but is that the right way forward? Are there other suggestions on how to proceed? Which studies do we want to proceed on? All of them, not all of them. Any input on this from anybody? Tim.
Yes, I suppose, any comment I have will have, some will claim as prejudice in some way or another, whatever. But, I'm going to say it anyway, and that is that right now, there's some significant work going on between registrars and law enforcement, for example, as we're trying to be more proactive in dealing with the concerns that various community stakeholders have. And, the proxy reveal situation is one of those and on the list of subjects that we want to try to resolve in a reasonable way with law enforcement. And I think going forward, we want to expand on those types of activities with other stakeholders as well. So I think that, one thing I don't want to see is that we do that something happened that would derail those conversations, because I think they have the potential for coming up with resolutions sooner than any doing a study and then policy development and all the costs associated with that. Since we have other studies to consider, what I would urge is for the council to consider those studies first. This is something that we can come back to perhaps at a later date if, interested stakeholders find that, some progress has not been made on this issue, on the concerns they have with it. So it's always out there, and we can pursue it at that point. But I think I would discourage committing
to it at this point, and the costs associated with it, and a pre-study, and all of that. Let's give this other these other activities an opportunity to kind of gel and see where they get before we commit spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on studies that may end up not even beginning or at least not finishing until we have some other satisfactory answer anyway. So that's just my thoughts on it. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Christina, you're next.
You know, I'm not opposed in principle to what you're suggesting, Tim, but I think, frankly, in order to get agreement from my constituency on that, I think we'd probably have to have a little bit more information, and I'm not asking for that right now, but I think we'd probably have to have more information without getting into specifics that, that neither law enforcement nor the registrar stakeholder group would want to disclose at this time, but just kind of, you know, where are those talks? What is what are the benchmarks that you're working towards time-wise and the like? So I would just ask you to kind of take that back to your folks and consider to what extent you all are comfortable doing that, because I think, quite candidly, that will be a really important factor as to whether or not that's something the IPC could support holding off on.
Thanks, Christina. Wendy?
Yeah, I think it's important to, as I said, I think when we were looking at the very first one, to look at these studies as a package, that there are things in some of them that some constituencies like very much and others are concerned about, and vice versa for others. Data from all of them together can help to illuminate whether there is a problem or not, but as we pick and choose and slice them down, particularly taking out this last one, which, while difficult to implement, at least get to the question of, is there a problem at all, or are people doing just fine despite the presence of services that protect registrants' privacy at actually getting communications through to those registrants or getting domain names or domain name problems resolved without breaching privacy. I think we need that kind of information, and I would personally prioritize that above the studies 2 and 3 in this batch.
Thank you, Wendy. John?
Sorry, my finger didn't hit the mute quickly enough. So I wouldn't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good in this regard. I think as long as we're willing to, as long as we're moving forward to actually get results from the first one and we commit to doing the others, I think that there probably is value. The fact that the negotiations are being conducted by people who wear guns, I think, is good. Probably means we'll get something maybe a little quicker. But as long as we're getting the data from the first one and commit that we're actually going to do, unless some good reason pops up not to, to commit to doing the other three, you know, I'd just like to see us work on getting some of the initial data so that we actually can have an informed conversation as opposed to trying to create a package where we get all four all at once.
Thanks. Tim, Wendy, is your hand, are your hands still up? Yes, no, and Wendy's, no. Okay, Zahid.
Thank you. I had a question and a comment. The question is that if these were agreed, to what extent does anybody think, and staff may want to answer this, is it possibility of us, if we request getting further funding, what's the gap that is there of funding? I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't paying attention. How much money are we talking about that we would need to have extra if we were to do all three? That's one question. I'd also, as a comment, agree with what John has said. You know, if we have to pick and choose, then I guess we should, you know, pick the reveal and the reveal study. I think that's more important and go through with that. But primarily some comments within our constituency, the D.C., have been that we want to see all these go through together. And if it's only a few $1,000, et cetera, not too much money, then I don't think, and somebody used the term nickel and dime on this issue, because this has been fought over hard in the past and wanted to get this through. So the question is basically, what is the amount of money we're looking at that would need to be in place for us to go with all the entire package? And what are the chances of getting that kind of money? And the comment is that we'd like to see all of them go through. If not, then definitely the first one should go through the commitment, saying that afterwards these others will be also done by staff. Thank you.
Thanks, Aid. I think it's very clear that there's some financial data that we're missing on this.
I can provide it, Stefan, right now.
Yes, thanks.
Although it required me to do simple math. It's Liz Gaster.
Switching to a better phone. The amount that the board originally allocated for WHOIS studies for fiscal year 2011 was at least $400,000. If we were to do the three additional studies plus the three existing studies, the one we've already agreed to do, numbers 2 and 3, plus the pre-study, total would come to $530,000. We would have a $130,000 gap, and that we would have to ask the board to consider funding. And we have the issue of wanting to make sure that we bring the funding that was originally allocated for 2011 to 2012, which has already been requested, because we haven't really spent any of that money in 2011. So $130,000 is the gap.
Thanks. And the total cost is $530,000, right?
Right.
Thank you.
And that's using the higher estimate of $80,000. If the council decided that the pre-study could be done in English, it would be $510,000.
Sorry, what? I missed the difference there.
We would reduce the pre-study by $20,000 if the council felt that it could be done in English only.
Okay. Rather than being translated, you mean, yeah?
Rather than doing the survey survey outreach in other languages in addition to English, which would be more costly.
Okay.
So, which I would recommend, by the way, if honestly.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how much extra it would be?
About $20,000, roughly. I gave an estimate of $60,000 to $80,000. I'd have to confirm it exactly, but it's, you know, that would be a rough incremental additional cost, which is what the 530 contains the higher figure.
And that would cover what languages?
At least French and Spanish. But, again, that would be for the council. You know, once the council decided what you wanted to do, I would get a firm estimate.
Thank you, Liz. Any further comments? Okay. If we still haven't decided anything on this, I guess we'll have to keep on discussing it. So let's move on to item 7 in the Joint DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group, which is another joint working group that we are getting involved in. It's a working group that's been placed under the oversight of the CCNSO, and we have 12 volunteers, maybe 13 if you go by Wolf's latest email, that we have for this working group from the GNSO, and the CCNSO has asked us to limit our number of volunteers to 10. So perhaps I can, before we start discussing how we might do that, ask Julie Edlund to provide us with an update, and I'm sure it'll be very quick, on this working group. Julie?
Yes, thank you, Stefan. This is Julie Edlund. So I should note that it was back in November that the charter for this group was established, the draft charter, and this was a joint effort by the ALAC, CCNSO, the GNSO, and the Number Resource Organization, the NRO, to establish this group. And following the meeting in Cartagena, the call went out for volunteers from all of these groups. And all the various groups are assembling their volunteers. And as Stefan noted, the CCNSO is providing a lot of the support for this group as far as setting up the site and so on, and tracking a lot of the initial work. Right now, that work has just been in gathering the volunteers and the statements of interest from those volunteers. And just as a reminder, the objectives and goals of the group are to draw upon the collective expertise of the participating SOs and ACs, solicit expert advice and input, and report to the respective participating SOs and ACs on the actual level, frequency, and severity of threats to the DNS, the current efforts and activities to mitigate these threats to the DNS, and the gaps, if any, in the current security response to DNS issues. And the working group may identify and report on other possible risk mitigation activities that relate to those objectives and goals. And the current status is, as I noted, gathering of the volunteers, and the next steps will be to schedule a first meeting amongst those volunteers, and that will be happening, I think, soon. I don't have an exact timing for that. I should note, however, that there was one change to the list, and if you look at the GNSO Council workspace, the list has been updated. A request had come in and had sort of fallen through the gaps from the Registrar Stakeholder Group for Chris Wright to be added as a volunteer. That brings the current list to 13, Stefan, that is accepting the request from Wolf Ulrich Knobin for another possible volunteer.
Thanks, Judy. So that is 14. Jeff, you are, your maths are good. Jeff, you have your hand up.
Yeah, so is it possible to go back to the CCNSO and ask for, my recommendation would be to have 12 from the GNSO, 3 from each stakeholder group, just so that we can kind of, I don't think there's a big difference between 10 and 12, and rather than having a different, if we stuck with 10, we're going to have a different number from different stakeholder groups, and I don't want to get into the business of deciding which stakeholder groups it's more important to participate in than others. So my recommendation is if we can go back with a request for 12 and then limit each stakeholder group to 3 members, I think that's the most fair way to do it.
I see your point. My initial intent was actually to ask people if there was anyone that wanted to self-volunteer to drop off, which might help and just get us out of this situation. Is that, I mean, does anyone know if that is the case? I know the volunteers aren't all councillors, so that's not something that we might be able to answer today, but maybe that's something that we should ask the volunteers. And I can go back to the CCNSO and ask them for 12. Alan.
Yeah, just to note, ALAC is in a similar position. We normally do things based on regions, and we've been given 4 people for our 5 regions. So not a dissimilar situation. Thank you.
Thanks. So I'll make a note of the fact that I will ask the CCNSO if it's possible to increase that number as suggested, and also at the same time ask the volunteers if all of them feel that they absolutely must be on the group. Any further comments on this? Okay. Let's move on to discussing community working groups. This agenda item is really for discussion only, but it's a discussion that we've been kind of having on and off and skirting around for the past few weeks and months. So it's one that I really felt important to have more formally at the council level, and that is what the GNSO approach should be to these community working groups that we're seeing more and more of. And on the agenda there, you have a list of the groups that the GNSO is currently involved in. That's five groups shown on that list. And the issue really, well, there's several issues. I really would like to get some feel, some sense from the council on how we should approach these groups. Jeff, do you want to open that up?
Yeah, and I think now with the DISA stuff, isn't that six? So that would be another one. And the reason I wanted to point to that is because I think in that charter, at least from my perspective and from the registries when we discussed it, that charter is really the appropriate way in which we should deal with, to the extent we do deal with community working groups in the future. That charter, in our view, adequately addresses some of the issues. That includes, you know, going back to the respective councils or advisory committees for their approval or input, approval of the charter, but also approval of the output before going straight to the board. It's very specific on outputs and communication paths, and I think that serves as a model or should serve as a model going forward, as opposed to some of these ad hoc groups that we've done in the past, including JAS and some of the others. And so, I will also note that I think I made this comment in Cartagena that we often create perceptions with these groups that we create, and the perception of JAS group continues to date. I mean, the GAC is now reviewing the output of the JAS working group as if it's a bottom-up process that comes from the councils or from, not the councils, sorry, the communities. And so if you look at the Brussels agenda for next week and you look at the GAC scorecard that was just released, you know, they're advocating adoption of some of the JAS principles based on the assumption or the perception that's been created that those policies have been adopted by the respective communities. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous precedent. And frankly, the way the DISA group is set up is the way that it should be set up in the future.
Thanks, Jeff. Rafiq?
Okay. I'm really concerned that it's a very kind of, I don't know, I find what Jeff said about the chat quite offending for the people involved there, as I think it's quite undermining that it's not a community work done there, for many people from ALAC, from GNSO, and even from CNSO. If there is any problem with the chat, it's not, I don't think it has any influence in what GAC is adopting for the next meeting between the GAC and the board, because it's just, I think the GAC is only using the milestone report, which is available since last November. So if there is any problem for the extension of the chat works, is not related to milestone report as adopted, as the GAC adopt many of those recommendations in that report. So please, I would ask not to undermine the work done in the CHAS working group. It will be a really bad signal for the community that GNSO Council don't support the work done there. Please.
Jeff.
Yeah. Again, Rafiq, I think we need to separate the issues out. We're not. Nobody's trying to undermine the work of the community working, of the group that's been set up, of the JAS group. But it needs to be taken for what it is, which is the assembly of volunteers, individual volunteers, as opposed to communities or groups. Let me give you another example. When we set up these groups, and this may be uniquely a registry thing or a registrar thing, or it may apply to others, but when we set up these types of groups, the people that volunteer from the registries do so with an understanding that they are volunteering as an individual. in many cases, and I would say, frankly, in most cases, they are not even acting on behalf of their company, much less the stakeholder group. So they are volunteering their time. I know that's when I go into a group, I am volunteering my own time to do it and my own work, my own individual work. And I may put my individual stamp of approval on it as Jeff Newman, but that doesn't mean Newstar, my company, is behind it, and it certainly doesn't mean that the registry stakeholder group is behind it, and it certainly doesn't mean that the GNSO community is behind it. We need to create the right perception. Look, I participated in the IRT group, and you know, for whatever people, you know, putting aside what people think of that group or whatever, I was on that group as an individual. I was on that group not representing Newstar, not representing the registries. It's the same type of concept here. When people are put onto these groups, they're individuals, and it needs to go back to make sure it has the support. I appreciate the work that the individuals have done. They've done a great job. It's a great output. But to basically assume that the work that those individuals are doing is supported by the communities in which they are associated with is a wrong assumption. And it needs to go back to the council, to the GNSO community, to decide whether they endorse it or not.
Thanks, Jeff. Alan. Sorry, Rafiq, did you have your hand up still? I guess not. Alan.
Yeah, I still, but after Alan and Wendy.
Okay. I support in the concept of what Jeff said, but I, you know, the things need to be approved. If they are deemed to be approved by the community, they have to go through the process. I don't think that inclusion in the GAC scorecard implies any level of approval. The GAC scorecard trashed a lot of things out of the STI report, which did have GNSO approval. The GAC scorecard is saying what the GAC wants, and they are willing to borrow from a place if they think it supports them, and trash something which did have community support if they think it goes against it. So I wouldn't read anything into whether the implication of something being included in the GAC scorecard. Thank you.
Thanks. Wendy. Sorry, Rafiq.
Okay, no. Just as I said after Wendy, I would...
Okay. He said after me, which is thank you, Rafiq. I think that the council needs to take care in the messages that we're sending to the board and the community about, and I'm thinking of the contrast between this and the response on the consumer choice. We can't sort of simultaneously say we don't support members of the community going out and doing things, and we as council don't have time to do them ourselves. I think the right answer here is to recognize that we as council are the body that the board and community looks to as the place where consensus can be measured around items in GTLDs. And when an issue comes up that the board or the community needs consensus statement on, we need to make room for that. And if it, we need to request greater resources in order to be able to do that, we should. But we shouldn't reject community working groups that are trying to reach and illuminate the points that we might then declare as consensus or not. So I think it's entirely appropriate that Jazz go out and do work, and then that it come back to council, and it be our job to say whether that work reflects the consensus on GNSO council. But I think we absolutely have to recognize also that there are community members who are interested and make room for them to participate.
Thanks, Rafiq. Rafiq, you put your hand down. Margie.
This is Margie. I just wanted to kind of provide a staff perspective on this, especially as one that was involved in the Rec 6 discussion. It's difficult when we're preparing, you know, board papers or helping interpret some of these issues if there isn't input from the GNSO Council. And I think that was one of the difficulties with the Rec 6 situation,
in that there was a lot of work done by the community groups. They got together and came up with recommendations. And then the GNSO Council never formally voted on it. And instead, I think at the last meeting we had this consolidation of viewpoints from different stakeholder groups. But it makes it really difficult from you know, the staff to know what to do with that because it's hard to determine whether there is any, you know, any kind of consensus on this or not. And, and we're also cognizant of all the bylaws requirements. And so, you know, to a certain extent, the bylaws don't really at the moment contemplate these community working groups in a way that really, you know, is easy to work with. And so, you know, some of the points that Jeff raised related to, you know, making sure it goes back to the GNSO Council are certainly good ones because that's more consistent with the bylaws. And so some of the issues from a staff perspective is, you know, it's the timing issue and whether the GNSO Council can provide input fast enough when there has been this community working group that's come up with recommendations, because otherwise if the GNSO Council is silent or takes too long, then it just doesn't, you know, factor into the process. So I just wanted to raise those concerns.
Thanks. Wendy? Jeff?
Yeah, two things on Margie's comments. You know, I sympathize with the point of things taking too long, but let's face it, these deadlines for the new GTLDs have been all extremely quick in order to kind of move forward with the process, and we're basically ad hoc of nature, kind of promulgated by the board and wanting some of this approval. So I don't think that that's the norm going forward for community working groups. At least I would hope, and we should certainly discourage any kind of community input to come on such a quick time frame as the new GTLD process. So I'm not sure that that's a huge issue going forward. But I also did want to correct something as well, Margie. You said that there was a lot of hard work by the community. Again, I want us to be very careful in what we say. There was a lot of hard work done by individuals within the community. They're not necessarily done by the community. And I think that's an important distinction. Again, not to undermine or diminish the work that was done by individuals, but we tend to say that there's hard work or things done by communities when they're actually done by individuals. And having it go back through the council, or at least through the groups, even if it's not the council, but it's the stakeholder groups that weigh in on it, just like they did on the Rec 6, then at least now that gives a better measure or metrics for ICANN staff to say, okay, you know, the registries felt this way, the registrars felt that way. That's a better way to measure what the community thinks.
Jamie.
I don't know, I'm a little confused here by Jeff's statement. I thought the community was made up of individuals, but maybe it's my poor English that is a bad understanding. But I think these community working groups are a good measure, a new tool for that can foster communication and understanding between the various stakeholder groups and communities, and this facilitates also outreach. But I think what is at stake here is that the formal bodies of ICANN is the way these formal bodies communicate with these working groups. They should not take and mainly the board should not take the reports of these cross-community working groups as something that comes from the formal bodies of ICANN. And any decision should take the formal communication of the GNSO Council and the ALACs, and not a direct communication with the working group itself. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Margie, did you have your hand up still?
Yeah, yes, just a follow-up comment.
That it might be helpful, like as an example for the Brexit situation, council would say we just can't come to agreement on the items within the report, and that's even if you know that's the answer, at least the board knows where the GNSO council stands on it, rather than not being clear and not knowing where the GNSO council stands on it. So that's just a suggestion.
Thanks. Any further comments on this? I think it's something that we should come back to and possibly use our weekend sessions in San Francisco to further discussion on and just make sure that everybody, even the people that haven't been able to attend this meeting today, do have their say on this, because it's obviously something that we're not all in full agreement on. Jeff, a further comment?
Yeah, just a real quick one. I thought a couple meetings ago we had agreed to form a smaller group of counselors to start the discussion and help flush out the issues, not as a working group to solve the issues, but to help flush them out. And if someone could remind me of what we decided, and may I make a request or recommendation that those individuals get together to decide on the issues that could be discussed at the weekend session as kind of to help guide the discussion?
Yeah, good point, Jeff. Glenn, can you address this?
Jeff, can you hear me? It's Glenn. I look up in the last minute for you, and I will send a note to you and all the people who volunteered for that little group and try and get you to get together in San Francisco. Is that all right?
Yeah, that sounds good. I think it might have been two or three meetings ago where it was talked about.
I remember, and I'll bring that back into life again.
Good. Thanks to you both. Let's move on to the RAP recommendation follow-up. And I don't think this needs much introduction. You'll remember that we passed in our previous meeting a motion with containing actions on the RAP recommendations, and we have in the agenda the resolve clauses that seem relevant to what we're going to discuss today. Before we start the discussion, can we ask Marie to give us an update or some feedback from ICANN compliance on that Resolve 1, which read, the GNSO Council instructs ICANN policy staff to forward the two issues identified by the RAP IDT as having low resource requirements, who is access recommendation number 2 and fake renewal notices recommendation number 1, to ICANN compliance staff for resolution. ICANN compliance staff is requested to provide the GNSO Council with its feedback on the two recommendations and proposed implementation in a timely manner. So that's what we're asking today. Where are we with that?
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. This is Marika. So first of all, apologies on behalf of Pam Little, who couldn't make the call today, but she has indicated that she is available for the questions either by email or to come to the GNSO Council meeting during its weekend session. So she did provide a memo that I sent to the Council earlier this week, which is also up on the screen, in which the compliance staff provides its feedback on the two recommendations, the first one relating to fake renewal notices and the second one on who is access. Has already been some discussion on the mailing list. Now, Stefan, I don't know if you want to discuss this further now or see whether there's any interest to have Pam join the council session over the weekend to discuss this in further detail. I don't know what further update.
Well, perhaps we can do both. Certainly I would have some questions, maybe with my registrar hat on about nice music. I'll carry on over the music. About why compliance staff is, it's a question that I'm not the only one to ask, about why compliance staff is coming into this now after the work's been finished.
This is Marika. I already provided a response to it because I think in the similar line as Jeff, the point that Jeff raised. I mean, compliance staff has been involved in the working group activities, did provide input on the WHOIS access issue. We also did raise the issue in relation to fake renewal notices that, you know, I can only enforce contracts on contracted parties and provisions that are in the RAA. So there was input, and based on that discussion, the working group developed those recommendations, which basically already foresee in those cases where, you know, there are issues or it's not possible to enforce on items because there are no provisions, that, you know, next steps or next recommendations would come into force. So it's not accurate that ICANN compliance staff did not participate or did not provide input.
Yeah, I don't think that's what's being said, that they didn't participate. The question is, if you look at Pam's response, it seems to imply that there are some areas where compliance staff, will go in a different direction to what the RAP working group has suggested, or that her response or compliance staff's response would affect what the RAP working group has been working on. So no one's suggesting that compliance has been totally absent from this debate. What's being asked is why wasn't this seen before the final recommendation, kind of thing.
On the first issue on the fake renewal notices, that was seen. I think some still felt that, or in the working group, and, you know, I don't want to put words in the working group's mouth, but they did discuss that issue extensively and to what extent that would actually be enforceable, also because it often doesn't relate to existing registrations. There are a lot of letters are being sent for, you know, potential registrations you might do in other TLDs for which you already, you know, don't have a domain name registration yet. So the working group did discuss it extensively, but before most of them were willing to support the request for an issue report to see whether indeed additional policy could be developed to address a specific issue, most felt that an official response was required from compliance staff on this issue for the GNSO Council to review before taking that decision on whether an issue report and policy development would be the appropriate next step. So I think that's part of the reasons, because, you know, the two recommendations basically ask for specifically for more information from compliance staff on these issues, and especially the first one of fake renewal notices has a conditional recommendation attached to it, where I think, you know, some in the working group did foresee that under the current conditions, certain parts might not be, there might be difficulties in enforcing or having specific actions against fake renewal notices. And I think on the WHOIS access, I think they did provide some information there on what they're actively doing. But again, there as well, the working group did provide a second recommendation in which they talk about whether further work might need to be done to make sure that, In this area, you know, ICANN compliance has the tools to enforce certain items, and I think Pam indicated as well that as the language currently is, there are terms that might need to be better defined. So that is further work, I think, where the group as well, you know, foresaw that more work might be required in order, you know, to have those tools and address those issues.
Thanks, Marika. Jeff.
Yeah, so part of my comment was, and I went back and I reread the final report and I reread some of the comments and I reread the time it gets to the council, there needs to be, this kind of stuff needs to be pointed out to the council when it's passing resolutions, if there's alternate motions and alternate things. In addition, I think there's a big difference between participating, meaning submitting a public comment, and active participation, which is... ICANN staff is but one player in the community, and they need to act kind of on equal par or equal playing field as everybody else. If there was a real difficulty, ICANN staff shouldn't have just submitted a comment. They should have been in there, and they should have been working with the work team and the working group to actually solve the issue or figure out the way. It shouldn't have gone on. I mean, when was that comment filed? Was it 2010 or was it 2009? I mean, there should have been work done in order to, so by the time it got to this point, we had a clear direction and actually enforcement. Right now, it seems like we're going to have to go, at least according to the solutions, we're going to have to go another year or two before we see anything done. That's my kind of first or second point, whatever that is. And my other point is, what if we disagree with ICANN staff's view? what is the process going forward? Can the council actually say, thank you, ICANN compliance, we disagree with you, we interpret it this way, and please go ahead and enforce? What happens in that situation?
Marika, you have your hand up, so I'm sure you want to answer that.
Yes, specifically to Jeff's first point, I just want to like to point out that the RAP working group was not a PDP working group. The specific task of that working group was to identify policy issues for further work. It wasn't the task of this working group to come up with solutions or recommendations for changes. That was very specific in its charter, and that's the task that the working group took to heart. It was to point out which issues might need further work, either policy development or other means, and that's how the recommendations were evolved. And that's how, you know, compliance did participate in some of those discussions. And, you know, they didn't talk about, okay, so how can we address this? What should we do? What changes should we make? Because that wasn't the task of this working group. The recommendations that this group has put forward are the issues they identified needing further work, either through policy development or other means, and that is what is on the table.
Thanks, Marika. Does anyone else want to comment on this?
Stefan, I do, but I'm out of Adobe again. It's Christina.
Yeah. Christina.
I guess I have two things. First, to respond to the initial, I guess, the question that was raised at one point, I do think it would be helpful to have Pam come talk to us, because in reading this response, there are a couple things that just jump out at me as things that, you know, to me could be done relatively easily, and it would be helpful to find out whether, you know, from the compliance perspective, is that true, and if not, why? But getting to Marika's point, I guess to me it's troubling that there seems to be, I guess, in some cases, very often, I guess, we tend to get lost in the process and lose track of the substance, and I guess I'm just troubled by what I am understanding to be the case, namely that in light of the very strict parameters of the RAP group, that they either didn't feel they could or didn't feel that they should kind of go beyond those to say, okay, can we get this information from compliance, or can we go back to council and say, go ahead and please request this information now because we'll need it to go forward. If that's what happened, I think we just need to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I agree with the points that on a personal level that both you and Jeff are making. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. As said, Pam is available to come to the council meeting over the weekend. I think we do have some time set aside to discuss RAP. I think it would be helpful if you have any specific comments or questions, if you can maybe submit them beforehand in writing, so, you know, if there's any further discussion that we need to internally or verifying from their side, I think that would be really helpful.
Thank you. I also think that would be helpful, so perhaps we could I think that is scheduled, as you said, on the agenda, but let's just make sure. And please liaise with Olga and Glenn so that Pam can tell us when she would be available to speak to the council to this. Anything further on this one? In that case, can we move to the update on the issues report on the current state of the UDRP, please, Liz?
Yes. Just want to let people know I've provisionally assigned Margie Milam to do that issues report, but I say provisionally because we are having significant staff resource constraints right now that make it difficult for us to actually start working on several new issues. And just jumping ahead to the next item, the expected assignment for the discussion paper on best practices, too. I've provisionally assigned Steve Sheng and Marika Konings both to work on that discussion paper, but we're kind of in the same boat with that, too, because, of course, in addition to that, we have the standing committee and, you know, other new work. So I can't commit to a deadline right now, but I am talking to the chairs about the prioritization issue and hope to come back to you shortly with a, you know, proposal for at least, you know, how we might work, move forward in considering how to balance the work. but that is an issue. Thanks.
Thanks, Liz. Sorry, just coming off mute. Any questions? Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, not a question, but you know, one of the things I'd like to see is, you know, oftentimes when we request these issue papers and discussion papers or whatever they're called, we kind of send ICANN staff alone and, you know, in a kind of a vacuum to draft these things up all by themselves. You know, since we don't have a date for these issue report on the UDRP or discussion paper, one thing that we could possibly do during the weekend is maybe come with an outline of some topics that will be addressed in the issue paper and then maybe seek input or thoughts from the council during that session to say, yeah, these do seem like the right kind of things to be in the issue report or discussion paper, or no, we think that that might be a little off base, just to kind of help staff out because they are resource constrained and, you know, it's hard for them when you just send them into a room to write this thing all by themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. On the resource issue, I do think that you know, Liz, we need to have a clearer idea of what the issues are. I know we've been discussing it, directly, and I'm sorry to spring that on you without prior warning during the council meeting, but I do think it is something that you know, we need to get some real numbers behind. I think everyone is convinced that there's a resource issue problem, and I think it's something that we really need to tackle. And to do so, I think we need to have those figures there that can help us see where staff is overtaxed at the moment, which staff is allocated to what, and how staff going forwards might be able to tackle new issues. I mean, one of the things that you've just said is that Margie's assignment to this task is temporary because of the resource problems. So, you know, how are you seeing that, and how are you deciding that Margie will go to this and then maybe she won't because she's busy on other things? If there's any help or insight you can give us into that, I think that might be really useful.
Yes. Well, you know, I do have a utilization report that I will send to the council shortly that details how we're allocating the resources. And it will, if you recall back in September, when we shared a staff utilization report with the council then, we were at roughly 131% utilization based on a 40-hour staff work week. Based on the recent utilization report we just did, which again is just a snapshot in time over a weekly period, we were at 126% of utilization. You know, my optimal desire is to get much closer to 100% utilization. I think that's much more fair. So we still have 19 working groups pending. We're taking some steps, as we discussed earlier on the call, to try to aggressively complete some of that work, which I think is terrific and very, very helpful. And to the degree that everyone can play a role in doing that, you know, including increasing participation in the working groups that desperately need your help to expedite their work. And the closer attention that you all can pay and that your constituency representatives on these working groups can actually inform you of what's in these reports and, you know, help you prepare, that would be also tremendously helpful. And so we're doing everything we can to try to clear the decks. You know, my decision-making about how I assign work really is, you know, part of my managerial job at ICANN and what they look for me to do, and it's based on all the things I think you all as managers of your own organizations would also do, which is to try to provide the best skills and best utilization to do the work. And so there's no rocket science to that. It's trying to make good judgments, and appreciate your input and thoughts about that. So I look forward to a further conversation. But I think just as the community is struggling so intensely with work. We very much are, too. And as we get close to another meeting, that work just escalates, as you all know, because you're trying to keep up with these same reports. So I'm looking forward to finding ways where we can all make good decisions about perhaps maybe putting things, like, for example, if the UDRP is of a higher priority to all of you, maybe taking a look at some existing working groups and seeing how we can either complete the work quickly or, you know, put them on pause for a few months and focus on these instead. I think Jeff's idea about narrowing the scope of the issues report on the UDRP, for example, if you all have specific ideas about that you want to share with us, would be very welcome. And there may be other creative things we can do about, you know, maybe putting things on a slower track or utilizing other resources to creatively try to relieve this situation.
Thanks, Liz. Just to be clear, I once again, anyone suggesting that staff isn't working extremely hard, and that is extremely, I think that everyone appreciates that staff is working extremely hard. I would stress that the kind of figures that we're looking for, I think, are something that is as simple as possible to read and to access. One of the problems that we face, I think, as volunteers is just the sheer volume of stuff that's coming our way. And, you know, if you look at the amount of ICANN announcements that we're getting now on a daily basis, it's just crazy. So the amount of reports, documents that we're asked to read, I'm sure we can sympathize with the strain that you're under, because I think we're under a very similar amount of pressure to deal with a lot of stuff. So as you've seen and as you highlighted, we are trying to tackle some of the prioritization issues that we have. That's why we have a regular agenda item looking at pending projects, and that's the kind of work that we're trying to do. We realize that some of these pending projects are taking up a lot of resources, and we would like to see them finished as well. So really, it's just cooperation between everybody to try and get this done. We appreciate the spirit of that. Does anyone else want to comment? So, Liz, it's back to you again for the discussion paper.
I think I covered that. Again, Steve Shang and Marika, provisionally, we don't have the resources to start on it right away, and I can't give you a deadline for when I think it'll be complete. But any thoughts you'd like to give or the council would like to give about refining the focus or directing us in any certain way would be appreciated. And again, I have this information ready to share with the council, and look forward to resolving the issues quickly in the way that Steph and you see fit, and the council sees fit. We're just at a problem right now where unless I take people off other existing projects and suspend those projects, I cannot turn attention to this work without dropping other activity.
Thanks, Liz, for that candor.
And I just really want to make the point, too, that this isn't, I don't want staff to be in the position of trying to make this call about which work gets done. This is the council's role to manage your priorities. What we can do is offer the resources to support you in the way that, you know, that you see fit based on the bandwidth that we have. And so, you know, from our perspective, we're really, you know, the recipients of your taskings, and, we're happy to move resources, and I can help do that and decide which resources if you just tell me which things you want to stop and which things you want to start or handle in a different way. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Liz. So let's just, in the remaining 4 minutes, move to any other business. And who from staff can give us an update on the meeting that's going to happen in Brussels on Monday and Tuesday?
Stefan, David Olive here.
Yep.
I think we have been on the council lists and other lists. We have provided a series of information and background materials, including the release of the various papers that were submitted for the board GAC consultations. I think those materials should provide the background and information that the council will need, some of the questions raised. After the last GNSO council, I did provide an update on this, and I think the more information that has come out recently and was recently circulated should provide that.
Thanks very much, David. Does anyone have any questions for David?
This is Jeff, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the question is not so much what's going to be discussed or the background. I think the question is, what if what comes out of those meetings is something that is contrary to something that went through the bottom-up GNSO policy process? Does the ICANN staff board have a plan on how the GNSO community will address those things in a quick time frame? Because a number of those things went through the STI process, it was adopted by the council. All these things already happened through the GNSO process, and to the extent anything comes out of the GAC ICANN board process, what is envisioned as the role of the GNSO?
Well, Jeff, the Brussels meetings are trying to identify the areas of differences as they move forward to try to address those differences. There will be, of course, a report on all the discussions after the session that will be made available. To that extent, that should be reviewed and consistent with what GNSO has recommended, looking at that. In terms of how the board or the staff will take that into consideration going forward, the guidebook is still, in that sense, open until the board decides it's closed. And so we would have to kind of discuss that further if you saw gaping errors of change, if you will, or suggested change. But at the moment, there is just the identification of the differences as a way to help how to narrow them going forward.
I guess just if I could follow up, Stefan.
Of course.
Just, some of the guidebook technically is supposed to be implementation of the GNSO policies. And so there are a number of things that the GAC has requested that may, and I'm not trying to pass judgment, but some of it may not necessarily be in line with what the GNSO Council GNSO community has said. And I just want to make sure that without losing any time, just want to make sure that people think of this ahead of time, that if something that comes out of the GAC sessions with the board conflicts with a previously bottom-up process determined by the GNSO community, I just want to make sure we have something in place to deal with that on a quick time basis to make sure we resolve those issues.
I thank you, Jeff. I hear that point, and let's see if we can this is not my area per se. It's Kurt's, obviously, for implementation, but let's see if we can arrange some sort of discussion or if that is needed after these board the Brussels consultations to talk about those issues that you talked about.
Great. To you both. Any further questions on this? Got a minute to go, or we're just about to go over time.
Olga, can you give us an update on the
Olga,
yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Absolutely terrible. Can people hear me?
Jay Burley.
Yes, Stefan, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you, Stefan.
Olga, try again.
Okay, now I hear you like without
yeah,
echo,
that's
but
great.
Very far away. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Just was saying that Glenn and I have been working on the agenda for the whole week, and especially for Saturday and Sunday, which has been very challenging because there are a lot of things to review and to talk about, and the time is limited. And about Saturday, we have moved the meeting with Patrick at 10:30, and it will be only half an hour. And we will start with the implementation of recommendation registration abuse policies as requested by Jeff, which is an important meeting for all the council. And then, you can review the rest of the meetings. Remember to send us topics for working lunch. We have two working lunch. We have only one topic that was sent by Stefan. So feel free to send us some comments, and we can make a list of topics. And then what I want to go only to the relevant issues. We still have no confirmation about the GAC meeting and about the board meeting. We still need confirmation about the social event with the board. And the rest, please review it in detail and let us know if these times are okay. I know that some meetings have a short time, as Christina was mentioning, and it's very challenging. We don't have much time, so we should be efficient in using the time and in using Saturday and Sunday. So if you have any other comments or suggestions, just let Glenn and myself know. I don't know if you heard me.
Yes, we did hear you. Thank you very much. And thanks for being brief. I will, as the meeting is running over time now, just encourage everyone to continue to work with Olga and Glenn. Thank you to you both. On the finalization of that schedule, please do look at some topics for both the GAC and the social event. The working lunches. Glenn and Olga and myself will continue chasing up responses from the GAC and the board on the social event and the meeting with the GAC, and we will, and also the CCNSO. With that, is there anything else that anyone else would like to say before I bring the meeting to a close?
And if the appropriate staff person could get back to me on my request, my question about whether the Monday and Wednesday sessions about the GAC consultation are duplicative, that would be very helpful because a lot of IPC members are trying to figure out whether if that session is different, then they'll stay, and if they won't, then they'll leave. So the sooner we can get that information, the more helpful I think it would be. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Christina. So someone from staff, if you can help Christina out, that would be appreciated. And with that, I'll bring the meeting to a close. Thank you to you all for your attendance, and see you all in San Francisco. Safe travels to everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
See you.